Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Although planet Earth stands out as a watery oasis, nearly all of its water is found in the oceans. This means that most of the water that we have access to is salty. In fact, only about 2.5% of our water is considered to be fresh, and a lot of that is bound up in glaciers and snowpack, leaving only a small fraction to meet the world's domestic agricultural and environmental freshwater demands. Growing concern over water scarcity, not only in arid and semi-arid regions, but also in some humid areas of the world, has contributed to a heightened interest in desalination. The city of Tampa, for example, developed its seawater desalination plant when it became clear that groundwater pumping was draining local wetlands. Desalination technology offers the potential to convert the almost inexhaustible supply of seawater and apparently vast quantities of brackish groundwater into a new source of fresh water. Technological advances over the past 40 years have reduced its cost and have led to dramatic increases in its use worldwide. But a host of financial, social, and environmental factors still impede its use. Among these factors are the high cost of dealing with concentrated salt wastes, especially at inland locations, and the considerable uncertainties about potential environmental impacts. With the support of the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the National Research Council recently convened a committee to assess the state of the art in desalination technology. The committee was also asked to look at cost and implementation challenges and to provide recommendations for action and research. Their conclusion? A national strategic research agenda can help make desalination a more practical water supply option for communities facing water shortages and enable desalination technology to serve a larger role in addressing the nation's water demands. Desalination is the process of removing salts from seawater or brackish waters. The system involves taking in seawater or brackish water, pre-treating it to remove suspended solids and prepare the source water for further processing, removing dissolved solids, primarily salts, from the water, treating the water to prevent corrosion of downstream water pipes, and finally, finding ways to handle, dispose of, or reuse the salt wastes from the process. Several different kinds of desalination technologies exist today, but the most common is the process of reverse osmosis, which uses the driving force of hydraulic pressure to filter seawater or brackish water and remove a majority of dissolved salts and other contaminants. A variety of environmental impacts are possible with desalination. One concern is that pumps bringing in large volumes of ocean or estuary water into coastal desalination plants can pin or trap fish and other marine life in the intake structures. Another concern is that the use of inland brackish groundwater sources could deplete the groundwater or affect water quality and quantity in adjacent lakes, streams, or aquifers. And yet a third concern is the effect of the waste products of desalination. Desalination leaves behind salt concentrates as well as cleaning and conditioning agents in some cases, all of which can affect the various surface water ecosystems into which they are discharged. Seawater desalination is also an energy-intensive process that can add to greenhouse gas emissions. As water supply planners evaluate alternatives, it's clearly critical for them to know as much as possible about the potential environmental impacts when they consider desalination. The problem is that there's still considerable uncertainty about how desalination affects the environment. Public concern has, in some cases, led to costly permitting delays for large seawater desalination plants. Limited studies to date suggest that the environmental impacts may be less detrimental than other ways to supplement water, such as diverting fresh water from sensitive ecosystems. But definitive conclusions simply cannot be made without further research. The National Research Council believes that an important next step is to identify and reduce potential environmental impacts. But they don't recommend halting desalination efforts while or until this research is done. Industry has made great strides in reducing energy use for desalination, but opportunities remain to improve current technologies and further reduce cost and energy by small but economically significant amounts. With reverse osmosis desalination, there are ways to reduce the hydraulic pressure while maintaining the throughput of water. There are also opportunities to reduce desalination costs by powering thermal or novel desalination processes with low-grade heat energy left over from other industrial processes that would otherwise go to waste. Historically, the relatively high financial costs of desalination has been a real barrier to implementation, but the cost picture is changing in a number of important ways. Improvements in technology are bringing some costs down, the desalination process is becoming more energy efficient, and most notably, the cost of other alternatives are becoming more expensive. As things currently stand, costs are already low enough to make desalination an attractive option for some communities, especially when the benefits, like providing a drought-resistant supply of fresh water, are considered. One needs to remember, though, that the costs of desalination, like the costs of water supply alternatives, are locally variable and are influenced by factors such as site conditions and concentrate disposal options. Increasing awareness of potential environmental impacts is also raising the costs of permitting and intake and outfall configurations. Meanwhile, the future costs of energy are uncertain. Conservation and water transfers will usually be less costly than desalination, and conservation of water often comes with associated benefits, such as reduced energy costs. In order for desalination to become a more attractive option for communities facing water shortages, two overarching long-term research goals need to be met. First, we must more thoroughly understand the environmental impacts of desalination and develop approaches to minimize these impacts relative to other water supply alternatives. Second, we must develop approaches to lower the financial costs of desalination so that it's an attractive option relative to other alternatives in locations where traditional sources of water are inadequate. It's also now time for a coordinated strategic plan to be developed that ensures that future federal investments in desalination are both integrated and prioritized, and where environmental research is emphasized up front, since it has the greatest potential for enabling desalination to help meet future U.S. water needs. And, as in many things, money makes a difference. The growth in desalination was made possible to a great extent by a major federal investment in research and development beginning in the late 1950s and continuing on into the early 1980s. Today, however, the private sector appears to be funding the majority of desalination research, with estimated spending more than twice that of other sources of funding. Some states, specifically California, are investing in desalination research, but state funding is generally directed to site-specific or region-specific problems, with a heavy emphasis on pilot and demonstration projects. Most of the federal funding for desalination R&D comes from congressional earmarks, which limit the ability to develop a steady research program. It should also be noted that federal investments in desalination research fell to $10 million in fiscal year 2007, down from $24 million in fiscal year 2005 and 2006, largely due to an absence of earmarks in the fiscal year 2007. Among the 9 federal agencies and laboratories that currently fund desalination research, there is no integrated or coordinated strategic research plan, and each agency or laboratory has its own research objectives. Continuation of a federal program of research dominated by congressional earmarks will not serve the nation well. The Office of Science and Technology Policy should take the lead in planning and coordinating federal research and development. Initial federal appropriations on the order of what we've actually spent recently on desalination research, about $25 million annually, should allow us to make good progress, especially if they're complemented by ongoing non-federal and private sector desalination research. As the value of our natural resources becomes more acutely obvious, and we understand that they are not always adequate, or in some cases certainly not infinite, it becomes increasingly clear that investment in research and development are critical. We have seen that recent technological advances have made removing salt from seawater and groundwater a realistic option for increasing water supplies in some parts of the U.S. Desalination will likely have a niche in the nation's future water management portfolio. Though we realize that the potential of desalination is constrained by financial, social, and environmental factors, and that substantial uncertainties remain about its environmental impacts, a coordinated strategic research effort with steady funding is needed to better understand and minimize desalination's environmental impacts, and to find ways to further lower its costs and energy use. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.